What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, are you alive?
I'm here. Like, it's so weird. I checked my temperature right before the Zoom, and it's actually gone down. It's been very up and down. It's really weird.
Well, so tell the people, you got your second vaccine yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I got it yesterday at like 2:30 is probably when I finally got it after waiting in the line. So it's 3:19 right now. So it's been about 24 hours.
And what are your symptoms or what are you feeling?
Last night I like fell asleep at like 9:30 and I fell asleep on my couch and woke up at like 5:30 in the morning. And moved to my bed and I slept until like 9:30. It was like a rock. It like knocked me out.
Yeah.
And this morning when I woke up, like, well, it was weird because when I first got it yesterday, like there was like a metallic taste in my mouth, like almost instantly.
That's weird.
But it was really short lived. So, and obviously like I'm paying attention to these things right now because I want to see what it's doing. Like that could have just been a completely random thing. But this morning I woke up and I was aching. My arm hurts really bad where I got the shot, a lot worse than the first time. But like, it's bearable. It just feels like maybe somebody punched me really hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like bruised. So I took my temperature this morning and I was fine, even though I was starting to feel achy. And I always run a really low temperature for some reason. Like it was 96.4, which is normal.
I do too.
And then when I took it again, it was 99.9 and I've gone over 100. I've gotten up to 100.2, but when I just did it, I'm 98.6 right before this call. So, but like, I haven't like, I've got like a little bit of a creeping headache, but there's nothing like a pulsating headache, like some people have said. So, but when I stood up after I'd been sitting down for a while and like, I felt it then.
The headache or just
headache,
the body aches?
Yeah, the headache. And I've had some shivers, like they come and go. But I mean, I feel fine. Like I've had some friends that are messaging me saying like, oh my God, like it was awful. I had a friend in LA told me she threw up all day.
I think
all of our bodies are just different, you know?
Like, totally. And don't they say that if you actually get sick, it's not that bad of a thing to happen because what is your body fighting off the virus?
Yeah. I mean, even a fever is like, you know, a virus doesn't give you a fever. Your body gives you a fever
and it's
because it's an action trying to fight a virus. So having a bit of a fever is actually a good thing. So,
Well, the vaccine is still a hot topic because I posted about getting mine on Instagram a couple days ago, and I got like so many fights in my comment section just because.
Like anti-vaxxers?
Well, some people are just really against it and some people are really for it, and nobody can seem to just let everyone do the best thing for them. Like everyone has to have their opinion about it. And, you know, there's a lot of people who just, they come at you. And for me, I have to do it because I want to go back to work. And most of the artists that I work for are like, yeah, we're not letting people on our tour buses if they haven't had the vaccine.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not being forced by work per se, but it's also like, hey, this is our requirement for this camp and I need to go to work.
Yeah, honestly, it's like you had to have vaccines before you could go to school and things like, right. It's like, but to each his own. I want my world to open back up. I'm going to do it. I don't know if you saw this today, but Eric Church is on the cover of Billboard this week and getting a shot. And there's video of it. And he's basically like, in order for us to get back on the road, like we have to get shots in.
That's the deal. I think, I mean, it's like, and people can judge all they want, but it's like when you live on the road, the way that you live is all on top of each other. It's like, it would be the breeding ground for a virus to be passed, like on a tour
buses. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes total sense to me. I'm all for it. And we were just talking though, because you texted me a couple of days ago and you were like, hey, I am getting my second vaccine on Wednesday. Like, I don't know what condition I'm going to be in. And I was like, oh, well, we can do this over Zoom. Or, you know, we started making all these plans. And I was like, isn't this so hilarious that is such a normal conversation to have? Right. Like, I might be sick. I might be out for a couple of days. And I was like, oh, right. The second vaccine. Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's like such a weird new norm. And like, part of me was kind of like I would be lying if I didn't say that, like, I was kind of fantasizing like being completely like knocked over by it so that I could give like a, you know, like a journalistic expose
and
what I felt like. But I mean, I'm also glad that I'm not vomiting. So
totally.
Or like sweating through my sheets. And
yeah. When I got my first one, I didn't really register until you've been talking about your symptoms, but I definitely was sleeping a ton the next couple of days. I had a sore throat actually, but it's so hard because it's like allergy season in Nashville too. So it's like, what is what? It's just really weird how everything feels very COVID related this past year. But it's so funny because like future generations are never, they're gonna be like, what? Like,
right.
Cause like this conversation, like
unless it gets worse, you know,
hopefully, yeah, like, hopefully not. But like, think about when someone's in quarantine nowadays, they're like, oh yeah, they had to quarantine, they got exposed, and we're all just like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like, it's just like part of conversation that our friend might be out for 14 days or something.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend earlier and her brother just got corona. He's fully vaccinated and just got coronavirus again.
Don't tell me that.
Well, look, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I don't think it's never going to be perfect, but he's also not going to die from it. You know, it's like, just like you can get the flu shot and still get the flu. You're just not, you're going to have it mild. But because of it, his children, who literally just went back to school,
they can't
be out of school for 20 days.
Why 20?
Because it's the 10 days for him. And then once he's over it, they have to go wait another 10 days to make sure they didn't pick it up when he was at the tail end of his.
Yeah, because that is how it
happened. So they're like beside themselves. I mean, it sucks.
It's been such a bizarre year, like just over and over. And I'm so ready. And I feel like everyone is feeling this, but just ready for some normalcy. So ready. Yeah. I was talking yesterday to Marv, my astrologer. You know, we do a new moon reading every month. And we were doing it and he was talking about how it's like an Aries new moon. It's all about the spring forward. Everyone's just ready to get out and about. And I was like, doesn't it feel double whammy this year? Because not only is it finally the weather's getting nice and people are just like, get me out of the house. It's like, we've literally been locked up. So everyone's like, get me the fuck out of the house.
It's like Groundhog Day. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, are we going to do this again? I will tell you this. Like, I am going to have my summer this year. Like, I know that our business is not going to bounce back to exactly what it was. I mean, we'll certainly be busy, but last year I was super busy because I was planning an album launch, which I don't have this year. So I'm going to take advantage of it. Like, I want to like rent a cabin in Montana or an RV or something and like do a little trip, but,
Oh, camper trip.
She can't for me. So much.
Is that Slutapalooza?
Gonna... all the way across America. Sluts across America.
Sluts across America. That's a new bumper sticker.
Oh my God. I should look to see if the URL is available.
Sluttapalooza across America.
Across America.
Remember when we were talking about the new normal, basically just in regards to like this quarantine conversation or even just getting your second vaccine. And you were like, it's like how like our generations now, like younger kids, like don't even understand what like dial up is.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about like kids that are like, okay, go grab your mask. Like that's
their normal. Oh my gosh.
Normal. You know, like
the kids are so used to it. Like
they like wearing them. They're a fun like accessory.
Did I tell you about my boyfriend's youngest daughter? She like did this fake, like, you know, how on your phone, you have that, what's it called? Phantom phone vibration, like in your pocket, like you think your phone vibrated because mm-hmm. we're so used to that, that it happens. She started to say something to me one day. And I wish people could see this motion that I'm doing, but she like did this motion to like pull down her mask to say something to me.
And it wasn't even there.
She didn't have a mask on. And she goes, I thought I had my mask on because she's so used to living in it. And it was just so funny. Wow. It's like phantom mask syndrome or whatever. But the kids, because they wear them all day at school, you know, like they're so used to it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if any will be sad when they don't have to wear them anymore, because I've seen so many like really cute kids masks.
I'm going to be so grateful when I don't have to wear a mask ever again in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
I hope that day comes. Hey, but speaking of dial up, do you remember card catalogs?
I mean, libraries in general, like who's going to go get a used book today?
Right. Seriously.
I've always thought about how gross. I mean, and I love libraries. Like, I love reading. So, you know, please forgive me about this next statement. But I'm just like, when you check a book out of the library, like, you don't know if somebody was like reading that while taking a shit.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
What if they didn't wash their hands after?
Yeah.
This was such a random tangent, but I just think it's so funny to think back about like all the old things. Like, I mean, think about like encyclopedias. Like we used to literally look, like I remember going to school and then coming home and breaking out the encyclopedia. Like encyclopedia.
To write your paper about like the first car that was ever built, you know?
Right. Like kids these days would be like, wait, you used to have to take out a book and look something up? Like what?
And they like the word encyclopedia. I bet you encyclopedia.com probably doesn't even exist because you have Wikipedia now. Like,
well, I mean, just Google. Like, yeah. I just, even when I'm doing research for like podcasts, I cannot imagine what doing a podcast would be like without Google. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, they do have, there's encyclopedia.com. Who knew?
Who knew? Remember CDs? And like, I remember getting my first CD after having just like cassette tapes and being like, oh my gosh, technology is crazy.
I didn't want to get CDs because I had so many cassettes that I was like, what am I going to do with these cassettes? I still have them too. They're at my parents' house.
Did you guys used to record onto like blank cassette tapes?
Oh God, yeah.
Like I used to do that all the time with my friends.
I would make inserts and I would handwrite the lyrics.
Oh,
like I would copy my sister's tapes and like handwrite. It would take me forever.
Of course, but I don't really understand what you're saying. Insert the what?
Well, you know, like when you buy a cassette, it had like the paper that came out and like.
Oh my god!
I would make my own. I would cut pictures out of magazines, make my own. It was like a knockoff cassette.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
we used to just like we would record ourselves. Like I think at one point I had like a fake radio show and I would have my friends on as guests.
Oh, I mean, talk about foreshadowing.
Yeah, no shit, right? Who knew?
Your mom was like, I always knew you had it in you, Kelly.
Oh my gosh, remember pagers? Like I used to page my boyfriend when I needed to talk to him.
I was never allowed to have one.
I didn't have one either. He was actually very advanced because he had one, and he cut lawns during the summer. And so like
people would page him and be like, get over here. The grass is getting tall.
Well, no, I would be like, oh, he's out. Cause he would do it all day. And like, he used to make bank. We thought we were like loaded in high school because he used to make so much money cutting grass.
I know.
But
how do pagers work? Like you like would type in a message and then someone would like,
no, you would call the number of the pager and then you would like put your number back in. And so they would go, you know,
so you had to actually know people's numbers.
I guess. yeah, I mean, remember knowing people's number.
Oh, I still, there's a couple of people, like my friend Sarah, I still know her phone number. Obviously my parents, my sister's cell phone, I know, cause it's like, it's literally basically, you could almost prank call my sister if you just dialed a bunch of threes and you might get lucky.
I don't know so many threes. I don't know anybody's number. Like, that's why with my cell phone, if I ever lose it, I am so screwed. Cause my life, like, I don't have an alarm anymore. I don't have anyone's number. Like, how do you access anything? How do you Google anything?
Do you have one of those phone cases that has your like ID and credit cards on your phone? Yeah, no. That stresses me out. I'm like, that is literally everything.
Crossing the line. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. I used to have a car phone when I got my very first car.
Like the kind that was in it on a stand?
Yeah, like it looked like a Zach Morris phone. And I mean, I thought I was like hot shit. The only reason I got it was because the car was like a hand-me-down from my dad. And we called it the Exploder. It was a Ford Explorer and it was like falling apart. Everything about it was like fucked up.
But your phone, was it like turned on or would you just... I can't answer right now. I'm driving.
No, like they would only let me turn it on if I was going like... You know, my boyfriend lived across town. And so like, if I would drive over there, my dad would make me turn it on. Like if I was going to be coming home late at night or something, right. You know, when I say late at night, my parents were like super strict. So it was like 10, but like
my senior year, I had to be in bed at 10.
Yeah. I mean, so you're in the same boat as me. Like, but because I'm a girl too, like there would be certain instances where they would be like, okay, you can turn it on in case like you need to call us or we need to call you. But like, I couldn't just have free access to it. They were not that way.
Well, I had one in college and it was literally the Zach Morris phone. I used to think I was the hottest shit in the world. Like I would have my messenger bag and the antenna would be sticking out of it.
Stop.
But it was $9.95 a minute.
What?
It was $9.95 a minute. So like, I never used it. I would just carry it around. But
that
if, like,
is pricey.
Crazy, yeah. But I had it because I worked for Atlantic Records as a college rep and I would drive up to DC a lot. So it was literally just, I would have it in case I got into some issue, but I would never ever like call a friend on it. Like I would call my parents when I was like stuck in traffic going home and be like, hey, I'm stuck in traffic. I gotta go. It's like $10 a minute.
So, to say that you're stuck in traffic cost you like $20.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. I just had this flashback too of like, remember long distance numbers?
Oh my God.
Like now we all have very different area codes, but like, do you remember only being able to call your area code or it was going to be like $800 to make a call?
Yeah. I mean, I have this really funny neighbor. His name's Greg and he literally he's lived on my block his entire life. He's like 65 years old.
I've met Greg.
Yeah. I want to make a documentary about him. He's so interesting, but I was at his house one night and he goes, you know, I don't have your phone number. And I was like, well, here it's, and I start to say my number and he goes, you can stop right there. And I said, okay. And he goes, I don't have long distance. They were charging me $6 a month.
What God.
So yeah, he got rid of his long distance. And so he can't call me. I said, well, don't you have a cell phone? He goes, I leave that thing at work.
Oh my gosh. Greg,
he's so sassy.
The
I love him.
Get
I love
with
him.
The times. Well,
he's like smoking a cigarette inside his house.
Ew.
I know. I was like, get me out.
That sounds like a 60s sitcom or something.
I know. I have literally 50s.
Oh my God. Well, I just think it's hilarious how common our conversation. I mean, the thing is like, and case in point to what I was talking about on my Instagram, people getting in fights, like I have to look at like a way to kind of make a joke about what's going on or laugh about it or keep it light. Like, people taking everything so seriously still is, it's too much for me. Like I just have to find a lighter side of all of this stuff because it's been so much for so long, you know? And so I think it's like funny to laugh at, oh yeah, the common conversation is, oh, I got my second vaccine shot. I may be down for a week or so, you know?
I saw a meme that was like, conversations for 2021. Are you vaccinated? Which one did you get?
Like, right, exactly. Like, did you get Moderna? Like, did you get Pfizer? Was it the one shot? Did you get Johnson & Johnson?
It was like four questions. It was so funny. Yeah.
It's so funny.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To think that we went from, like, you know, the having a card catalog to, like, maybe having a vaccine passport, like a digital vaccine passport. It's like so crazy.
Wild times. Yeah. Wild times. Well, my big news for this week. Well, first of all, I'm glad you got the second vaccine, and I'm glad that you're feeling like you're maybe on the up and up.
Thank you.
My big news for the week is that Nashville Lifestyles came out with their April issue, and they did like a spread on me. It was so kind. Spread them. That's a different conversation. No, but they did a really nice article about just my job and how I got from Louisiana to Nashville and kind of found my way in the music industry and, you know, just like kind of telling the story. And it was so kind. I loved all the things they wrote. They were very nice. So I was very grateful. So this morning, because it officially hit stands today, I did a post, and I didn't even think about this, but I was really so, like, I was, you know, just feeling the joy. You know when you have that, like, permanent smile on your face and you're just, like, walking into your day? And, you know, I haven't had the best run the last couple years career-wise. And so this was a really, like, okay, getting back in. Like, here we go. Thank you, Nashville Lifestyles, for giving me my motivation. I was in a great spirits about it. Go to do my post. And I kind of wrote this, like, sentimental-ish post. And
you gotta scroll up. It's so long.
Yes. Okay. It's a long caption. So you commented and you go, dramatic reading ? And we have mentioned on this podcast before how we used to go through some people that we know's Instagrams, and anyone who takes themselves too seriously and like writes these really like feely lovey or whatever, long captions, you would do these dramatic readings. And so I was like, oh, this is fucking perfect. She passed a dramatic read. Like, I started dying laughing at myself because I was like, oh my God, I just totally gave him a dramatic reading.
So good.
Okay. So will you bless us with a dramatic reading of my caption from my Nashville Lifestyles post? me.
Now I'm nervous. Normally I'm really drunk when I do these. So
true. Oh, we should have made you get drunk.
I could have. Yeah, except for that's probably not good.
Not good for your body at the moment.
All right.
Don't start laughing.
When I was a little girl, I was obsessed with award shows and red carpets. It was like Christmas Day seeing the transformation that celebrities would make. As silly as it may sound, the fashion and glam choices felt like such a communication of their personalities. Fast forward many years, and I find myself included in that transformation process for people walking down massive red carpets when, you know, red carpets were still a thing. And I couldn't think of anything that feeds my soul more than seeing a client feel confident and true in that transformation. Thank you, Nashville Lifestyles, for telling my story of making my place in Nashville. I am honestly so honored and perma-smiling all day today. The April issue is on stands now. Get it on the link in my bio.
Oh my God, so dramatic.
Well, I'm happy for you because it's always great to be recognized for like your talent and the hard work that you've put in. And, you know, it's this town has a lot of people doing what you're doing now and they chose you. So
thank you. That's very kind. I was also feeling very proud. I am still, I feel very honored that they chose to do that. And I feel really embarrassed about that caption.
I love it though. You walked right into it.
I walked right into it. I like laid it out there. I like teed you up so perfectly. Like it's like I don't even remember who my friends are. I remember somebody saying to me one time, this was like back when I was, I guess I was on TV. I don't know what, I don't remember what the context was, but they were like, you seem so humble. Like, how do you stay so humble? And I was like, you haven't met my friends. That's seriously, like our friend group would never let any of us get a big head. It's just never.
It's too fun. It's too fun to like, you know, rib your friends. It's
also
like,
if you can't laugh at yourself, like you have a bigger problem.
100%.
Like the second you commented that, I read the caption and I was like, oh my God, what the hell?
The same thing to me, you know, it's like,
oh yeah,
but sure would. You know, don't let that like keep you from writing long.
Listen, sometimes I just get all emo and in my feels and I just gotta like write from that place. And then the next day I'm like, God, I was emo yesterday.
Well, sometimes like you just do it yourself. You make like an emo story that's like, you don't write it out. You're saying it. So
what do you mean?
Sometimes you'll do like a story that's like a few slides long where you're like waxing poetic.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends on the day for me, but most days I'm waxing poetic in some capacity. Okay. Well, I kind of want to move into listener questions because I know you're not at 100. So we said we keep it a little short today. But first, I want to talk about, this is kind of in line with listener questions, but this is like a big feedback thing that you got. And I actually also got on your behalf this week regarding Slutapalooza.
Slutapalooza.
What did you post?
So yesterday I posted that I got my second shot and it was just like, I think I said like, want a kiss or something like that.
Yeah, you did. You posted your vaccine record card and you captioned it on your story as want a kiss, question mark.
Want a kiss. And so many people were stoked about the beginning of Slutapalooza. And it's like those moments where I forget that people like actually are listening to us.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought it was really funny that like that is the thing that like clearly is resonating with people. Like people are like wanting me to be a big old slut.
I am personally. I just am like
I am too. I'm on that same team. So
And also, I can tell that you're feeling yourself. It makes it like really fun to be around you because you have this very like positive energy and like confident vibe, you know, which I think is what Slutapalooza is all about.
100%.
I posted a repost from the Hot Country Nights. If you guys don't know who that band is, look them up.
Talk about sluts.
They wrote a caption that said, or they wrote a meme the other day that said, single and ready to mingle? Meh. Who's vaccinated and sexually frustrated? Like, that's like the new line, right? And so then when I posted that, I got a ton of messages from people being like, this is so Chip. Slutapalooza. You know, like everybody is so ready.
I know. Here's the thing. I want to do it. And I'm going to try and be as open and honest about it as possible on here.
Oh, I love the vulnerability.
Yeah. Like, why not? Like, if I'm going to do it. But I think in return, I think it would be really fun if we had some proud sluts. And by slut, like, I'm taking back the power of that word. Like,
okay, tell us more about that. Because the word slut is very tough for me. Because I get like, don't call me a slut. You know, because
don't call me a slut.
It's always kind of referred, used for women.
Yeah, I think like we can all sort of like recognize our inner slut and be proud of it. Like whether that means you're sleeping with a lot of people or maybe it means that you're sleeping with your significant other and you're like unleashing your wild side. That's more of where like, you know, that's kind of where I'm framing the word slut. It's like, just like let your freak flag fly.
It's like your edge, if you will.
Yeah, the edge, yeah. Living on that veg.
I mean, that goes so with the veg in refer, like when you're referring to Slutapalooza is like, oh, that just took it a little further.
Yeah. I don't need the details.
Yeah.
So I think it would be really fun, in addition to listener emails, if we could feature like a proud slut of the week. So, you know, we can obviously do it anonymously so that people don't have to, their names don't have to be said, but I would love some encouragement by hearing other people's like slutty activities.
Okay. So you feel like that would make you really amp up your Slutapalooza?
Yeah. It's like, well, I think, you know, in the same way that you feel like the word slut has a negative connotation, like,
sure.
I think there's, you know, just like misery loves company, excitement loves company too. So to have that encouragement to know that other people are out there just like letting their freak flag fly, obviously being as safe as possible. I'm not encouraging being stupid. You know, let's start a revolution of love.
This also reminds me, remember our girl, Brittany, the story about the blowjob and then going to the dentist the next day. Yeah. Like stories like that seriously make my day. Like it's just so funny because everyone has an embarrassing story, right? So and I think that once you get into Slutapalooza, you're gonna have a couple. So
100%.
I think those would be encouraging to you because you'd be like, oh, I'm not the only one. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so anyway. All my proud sluts out there, let's hear your stories.
Oh.
I don't know where to tell you to. You can either slide into my DMs at Chip Dorsch or you can hit Kelly on Velvet's Edge.
Or you can just email us at our old email, which is still at casual@velvetsedge.com. We'll call it the slut. Like, I was trying to think of like a revolution, but tying the word slut in. What is it?
Slut-a-pollution. Slut-a-pollution. It actually sounds gross. That sounds like a
slut-illusion. Like, it's like a revolution. Like, bring your... that fell flat.
Yeah. Slut-a-pollooza.
Okay, fine. It sounded so good in my head.
Yeah, I get where you were going with it. Maybe we'll work on that and see if we can come back with something next week.
We still don't have a tagline for the show. And you're like, yeah, we'll work on that. Just add it to the list.
Add it to the to-do list.
Oh my God. Also our merch store. I've really been dropping the ball in that t-shirts. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
We just need to look at some blanks.
We really do.
Slutapalooza is definitely going
to
be.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. Yeah. Okay. So this email came in from Emily and she said, hey, Kelly and Chip, I'm loving your podcast as ever. I feel like a literal stalker because you read my Instagram message out like three podcasts ago, but for some reason lockdown is giving me the urge to reach out to anyone and everyone for connection. I heard you responding to a listener who was looking for advice on fielding invasive questions and comments about her age and plans to have children. First of all, let me just say that I feel you, girl. I'm only 30, but I got married 4 years ago. And the second that ring went on my finger, I've been asked about our plans to have children. My stepmom got wasted at my sister's birthday party 2 years ago and yelled at me across the dinner table, demanding that I give her a grandchild soon. I also get a lot of people making unwelcome comments or jokes about mental health. I have bipolar disorder, from unsolicited advice on how to treat my illness to dismissive opinions based on misconceptions and offensive jokes. I've had it all. This approach might not be for everyone, but my solution is usually just to make people uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm just brutally honest with them about my miscarriage, or I flip the conversation and ask them something equally as personal, or the most powerful thing is when I just ask them why they're saying whatever they're saying. Most of the time, when you ask why, you force them to reflect on the root of their behavior, and they soon learn to stop doing it. Basically, my mantra is, if my answer makes you feel like a dick, maybe you need to consider your question again. Anyway, I hope your listener finds some peace and is able to figure out life on her own terms. Thanks for all the laughs, guys.
Huh.
I actually love that about kind of making them feel uncomfortable, because it's sort of like what I was saying, like when you're like, oh, thanks for sharing. Like, you just are like, come on now. Like, this is not your business. Why are you being so invasive about my life?
Right. I mean, you know, it's so funny because I feel like a lot of people make the mistake when they're trying to actually like be kind.
Yeah.
You know, like, or it's coming from a place of caring or whatever. It's like, and I, you know, I'm sure I'm guilty of upsetting some people by saying something like the wrong way. Like, I do believe that there is like, you know, it's a really easy excuse to go to say like, that's not what I meant. But I do believe that it is possible to say something incorrectly and mean something different.
Yeah.
You know?
I do like, too.
My grandmother was always like, well, you've put on some weight. And it's like, yeah, like she just couldn't stop herself from saying it. And it was like, I know it was coming from a place of like her wanting me to be healthier, but like that has the negative of like, that makes you like sort of retreat into your body. So like, it would be smarter to be like, let's go on a walk today, you know, or something like that.
Anything. Yeah. I was just thinking about the part that she talked about, where she said, I like answer brutally honestly to make them uncomfortable. And it just reminded me of a story. I ran into, you know, I was engaged once and I ran into that guy. We canceled the wedding. Obviously I never got married, but I ran into him this was before COVID, but so about a year ago, and he proceeded to like, I think I had to say something like, hey, how are you? You know, like you can't just not say shit like that, even though I actually don't care. But I was like, hey, how are you? And he starts going on and on about how great his life is with his new wife and their kid and all this stuff. And like, I had literally just finished my second unsuccessful round of like egg freezing process. Like, I couldn't do it. So I'm still on all the hormones. I just was like, why the fuck are you telling me this, dude? Like, you literally are telling me all these great things of your life. And he cheated on me. So it's not like I have like positive feelings about this.
Right.
And so he's telling me this. And I literally, he goes, how are you? And I go, well, to be honest, I'm not that great, actually. And I've never seen someone just be like, he like did not know what to say. And I was just like, but I gotta go. See you later. You know, but it's just like,
people aren't prepared for that response.
No, everyone's so ready for you to be like, oh, I'm great. Or, oh, I'm fine. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna shoot you straight. I actually am not that great right now. I'm in a bad place in my life. But
why do you think it is that like, we all feel like we need to just say I'm fine?
I don't know what that is, but that is definitely like, it's something I'm reading a lot of therapy, like a lot of the therapy sites that I follow now are starting to be like, you don't have to always be fine. And it's okay not to give that answer. I think it's just because really when people say it, are they actually asking, like, do they actually care? Or are they, it's just like this, like part of a conversation, like hello. Yeah. And that maybe that's the problem. Maybe we should stop asking unless we're actually genuinely concerned.
Right. Yeah. Your response could be like, how much time do you have?
Exactly.
You want the long answer?
Did you want to grab a coffee for this combo or maybe a tequila? Yeah. Oh my my God, so good. All right, so this is a question that I got DM'd to me on my Instagram, and it comes from Mary. She says, "Hey guys, I'm dating a great guy. We are in our late 40s. He doesn't lie or cheat and has no history of it. We follow each other on Instagram. He gets to attend cool social events, and I noticed after each event, he will be following sexy Insta girls that he has met. Also follows big butt sites and other what I would consider kind of creepy sites. He likes all the photos. Obviously, I don't like this, but get men enjoying the photos in private. My main concern is his judgment in liking public sites. He has a 16-year-old daughter who follows him on Instagram. My question, red flag, or should I not be Insta-stalking and looking for problems? Maybe a follow-up question, am I wrong to be looking at who he follows, or does everyone do this? I feel bad looking for trouble because if I didn't stalk, I have zero concerns about him or our relationship." That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely have friends that follow those same sites, and they're good dudes. They just like butts and sexy women. Like, I think the one question to me that's super valid is, like, I mean, his 16-year-old daughter is following him, but, like, she probably knows her dad just as well as anybody, you know, and she probably, like, he's probably always been a bit of a creepy dude, you know?
Sure.
So, I don't think there's any problem with, I look at to see who people follow, like, not necessarily just to, like, judge it, but to see if there's, like, any connection or whatever.
I mean, it is public knowledge. So, like, yeah. If it's, unless you have a private account, you can see who people follow. I don't know. I mean, I have a couple thoughts. Obviously, like, these are sensitive topics for me just because of some of the stuff in my past. And, like, I don't know, like, the following of those accounts sort of feels weird. I don't know. Something about that sets me off. Like, I wouldn't, like, love that if my guy was doing that. And I also sort of feel like this thing where we're, like, we just downplay it, like, annoys me about the way we're like, oh, men will be men. I fucking hate that. Like, I'm just right. Like, why? Like, so they objectify women and we are supposed to just be like, okay, that's normal. Like, it's just feels a little devaluing to me. Then again, it's like we as women are posting these pictures. So yeah, it's like such a, it's
done for attention.
It's exactly. So it's a big thing, but I do think it's like old programming that maybe we need to start rethinking and that needs to go a little bit. Like, I'm just like a little over it personally. I will say if it's bothering her, like her behavior and finding this information and like the snooping, if it's causing issues, that is something to think about too. Like, why are you doing that? Like, she says she has no concern, but like, why then? Why are you doing it? Like, is it some sort of subconscious fear? Is it, I don't know. I just am curious about that, but
I would almost bring it out into the open and just like make jokes about like this sexy women. Like, oh, I saw you. You know what I mean? Like,
make light. I think it's worth a conversation of just like, hey, like, what the fuck? And also, like, your daughter follows you. I think what's so interesting to me about dads with daughters is somehow they separate the women. Like, I think I've said this about my boyfriend before. Like, some, you know, like, he wants me to dress sexy or whatever. And he doesn't even want his daughters to wear a bikini. And I'm like, it's so interesting to me. Cause like, you know, do you think my dad doesn't think about that kind of stuff? Like, I said that like he wants me to dress sexy, but he's always like, oh babe, you look so hot in those tight pants and blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like the line between when is it different for them? Like in their head, like your daughters are going to have men look at them the same way and talk to them the same way. So wouldn't you want to be some example to them of like how you really think they should be treated?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a really great point.
Like if this guy, I'm sure doesn't want his 16-year-old posting these pictures, but if he's following accounts like that and she can see, she might be like, oh, well, I mean,
it definitely sends a mixed message.
Well, it normalizes it so much so that she's probably like, oh, okay, this is fine.
Yeah, my dad's into that.
Yeah, my dad does that. It's not a big deal. I don't know. It's just food for thought. I mean, obviously, like, no judgment, but it's just something to think about. And I think sometimes we do these things without really being conscious of the effect it can have on relationships or on young children. And I'm guilty of it too. I've had a really, seriously, since dating my boyfriend, it's made me rethink a lot of the stuff that I post. It's been interesting because I know they'll see it at some point.
At some point,
Yeah.
I forget who I was talking to the other day. A friend of mine told me that they archived their entire Instagram feed. Oh, it was actually a coworker of mine because he was just like, it's not like there was anything that I was necessarily embarrassed by, but I'm just I'm just a different person today.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to be judged by my past.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to look back and kind of be like, wow, remember when I was into that? Or like, you know, how you've grown.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see where you would want to change it, especially like if you were, I think about it in a creative like business concept. I'm like, oh my God, my business is so different now. Or like if you were a musician whose music has completely changed, you know, it's just interesting. Social media kind of keeps it all alive forever, which is weird.
I mean, I definitely love going back and looking at some of those memories, but I'm kind of tempted to bury the past too.
Yeah, I hear it. Well, I hope you don't bury all the past, and I hope you bring out some slutty.
Yeah, it's like all slutty roads ahead. That's all I'm going to do.
The roads ahead look slutty.
Yeah.
Like, or like the weather forecast, it's going for sluts. I don't know. All right. Well, you go get some rest and we hope that you're feeling better next
Thank
week.
Thank you.
Happy you're vaccinated so you can get to kissing people.
Get to slutting. All right.
Slutting. How are we going to sign off? What did we come up with last week? Didn't we say something?
Oh God, my brain is too mushy.
I got messages about when I tried to get you to go the edge. People were dying.
The edge.
That just didn't work out how I thought it would. Okay, well, for this week, we're just still living on the veg, guys.
Living on the veg.
Living on the veg. Bye.
Bye.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.